I'm Ray Barry, and this is the Audio Wave Cafe podcast. Coming up on this episode, my guest is singer-songwriter Kirsten Smitten. I'm also introducing a new segment called Music News and Views. I'll also be shining a spotlight on Purple Rain, the 1984 album by Prince and the Revolution. And I'll be playing The Calling, written and performed by Kirsten Smitten. We should move on. Let's go! First up on Music News and Views, songwriter and performer Justin Bieber. You know, over the years I've read some, let's say, unkind comments about this young man. Like him or not, the Canadian superstar has sold more than 150 million records. Recently, his manager, Scott Braun, negotiated with London-based Hypnosis Song Management to acquire Bieber's entire back catalogue of around 290 songs in a deal worth $200 million. Ha, nice one, Justin. In September of last year, I interviewed Harley Feinstein, one-time drummer with 70s American band Sparks. Today, the Mayall Brothers are in the news, having re-signed to UK label Island Records for the band's 26th album, The Girl Is Crying in a Latte. Sparks first signed to the record label 49 years ago. Island Records president Lewis Bloom said, "Sparks have always been one of the most original, groundbreaking and creative groups in pop, and their longevity is partly down to their ability to constantly reinvent themselves." Oh yeah. Just when some people are counting down the months to their retirement, 64-year-old Madonna is commemorating her 40th anniversary of the release of her debut album, Madonna, by planning a return to the stage with a celebration tour covering North America, the UK and Europe, beginning in Vancouver, Canada in July. I had a quick check on her website, and many dates of her 35-city tour already sold out. Well done, Madge. It's been revealed that singer-songwriter David Crosby, who passed away in January aged 81, was working on new music until the end and talking about his new album on the day he died. He was also planning shows and tours and had already rehearsed with his band. He will mostly be remembered for his time in The Byrds, then Crosby, Stills and Nash, later adding Neil Young to the band. He has said recently that arthritis in his hands was making it difficult to play the guitar. You have to give it to him. David Crosby was a trooper until the end. He never gave up. I first became interested in interviewing my next guest when I came across a music video recently on YouTube. Singer, songwriter and musician Kirsten Smitten. It's a pleasure having you join me today.
It's lovely to be here.
Kirsten, aka Indie Mama, where does that come from?
Well, basically, I was under a different name and I kind of realised it was a bit too much of a common name. And I just added Indie Mama because it's just sort of identifying, because people will always say, "What kind of music are you?" And I was thinking, well, I'm not really a young duckling. So if, you know, if they're going to sort of see me, I'm sort of like I'm indie, you know, and a bit quirky. I do a bit of everything, and mama, because I'm kind of like a bit mothering, and you know what I mean?
Okay. I've read that you just want to make music and be experimental in all its forms. Could you explain that?
There's some artists out there and you sort of play their one album and you might as well have, you know, they'll put another album out, and every album's, I like everything to be different. I like varied. I like varied styles. I like using varied instruments and sounds. And I've been very fortunate to meet the wonderful Jason Edwards from Wolfsbane. And, you know, you go into his recording studio, it's like a chocolate box, and you have to be really careful because you can get too greedy and have too many sounds there. But things like using a Bodrum and, you know, different synth sounds. And it's about finding a sound that feels the same as that feeling and that emotion, because the sound, you're creating a picture. And I don't, you know, with music, you have a variety of styles, but it's also with emotions, you have a variety of emotions. It might be angry, sad, or what have you. So for me to have albums that are out there that are varied, and there'll be a song in there for everybody, or if they don't want it, they don't have to buy it. You know, it's really important for me to sort of have a varied moment. You know, if I'm in the car, and I'll always play some of my own songs, and it's not that you're going, oh, only will listen to me, but you need to sort of embed your songs. So depending on what mood I'm in, depends on what song I listen to. So, you know, and I'll have a good day with a song and a bad day with it. You know, it's like, it's good. Right. It's good.
Uh-huh. Who are Burn?
It's a duet. So hopefully going to be extending that. So I've done about 3 or 4 songs with Adeen Dubby, he's just a local artist in my village. So we don't do stuff that often. And I'm sort of like, hopefully I've got a couple of more musicians that are going to be coming in. So it was just about getting like a bit of an 80s vibe. But, you know, at the moment, because he's got his own projects, it's very much hit and miss. So being Kirsty, I get sort of like really want to be on it like a car bonnet. So I'm bringing some more musicians in, keeping the same vibe. So, you know, that was important. You know, we had such a laugh making those videos that we did, you know. It was great fun, good songwriter. And, you know, he writes differently when he's with me. And that it was a, you know, good moment, good vibe. Sometimes you need to be away from one another too, so that you both expand sort of on a songwriting ability. I wanted Burn to be more of a band. And then, you know, you get frustrated if you're waiting for somebody to get some songs done and you're waiting 3 years, you know, you get musically frustrated. I was like, if you're a music addict and you have to wait 3 years, it's like, no, this is not acceptable. We all go on our own paths, and, you know, life is a train journey. We all get on and off at different stops, so that's cool. But I've also got another band. I'm in a metal band. And so it's kind of like a bit of a Black Sabbath kind of feel. And they're sort of bringing me out. So we've done about 5 songs ready. So we're just waiting to get those recorded. And for me, it's extending my ability, because when I songwrite, I'll get a feeling from the band. You collaborate with that feeling. And then I'll just free flow vocals over the top, and then I'll pick out the best vocals and tidy it up afterwards. And that's how I write, you know, with other people. I'm a lyricist predominantly, and I just free flow it. I find it easy because I used to do the flute. So I used to jam flute stuff over. So you naturally take or find tunes over chords. I'm definitely on the ADHD spectrum, which means you struggle holding back words. So if you come to songwriting, to free flow lyrics, and also because I'm dyslexic, with dyslexia, you only pick out words in different ways. So if you're putting words over a song, you're not sticking to a sentence, or, you know, you'll leave certain words out naturally. And it's great for songwriting. So sometimes what you think is a hindrance actually excels you in other areas. So I call them superpowers, but you don't see it unless you use it.
Superpowers, yeah. Going back to the heavy metal thing, when you're playing live, you must have a different voice for heavy metal.
I think when I look back on some of my songs, if it's a really sort of quiet and gentle one, it's just about mapping out your emotions in a different format. And so you go quieter and calmer. And I'm just trying to think vocally. I was initially taught to sing in opera, and that gives you a different vocal style. But I would definitely say that you could recognize it was my vocals. You know, I've got another song in my sort of ensemble that you've probably got there, called Suicide Mission. And that's kind of like more punk. But it's not necessarily about style, it's about changing the emotion within the vocals and sort of showing it in a picture, those emotions in a picture.
I've watched a couple of your impressive music videos, Kiss Me and It Hurts. Who produced them?
It was me. So yeah. So I'll see something, I'll come up with an idea. So Kiss Me was it's actually my song, but Mr. Dovey sort of came in and just changed the style. So we kind of like worked really well together, like yin and yang. He would sort of like change some of the music production and put some different ideas in. I actually had Jeff Hately from All Spain put in this beautiful punk bass line, absolutely stunning. Love Jeff Hatley. And I think Tamworth had flooded, and I'd been walking around and seen all this graffiti and stuff. So I cut the videos myself, and I did It Hurts as well, cut it myself. Dean sort of like will come up some ideas. I think he worked differently with me. He's got so much going on. So those things are what we'd probably do for that now. But in the future, I'm going to be sort of bringing in different people into Burn. So that's going to be really interesting. So, but I like sort of shaking things up a bit. So that's cool.
Can you tell us how you produce the videos?
The videos were done off a phone. And I've got an app. You can see the difference in the quality. I've got a 4K camera now, a Panasonic, that where I can do bits and bobs. But all of my videos, there's two that were production. So there's a zombie movie that was done by a guy that I went to school with. That was cut because he started doing it and he was poorly. So he didn't finish off his zombie movie. So I had, that was the one on Suicide Mission. And then I actually had This Is My England was a proper paid video for it. So I've now got a Panasonic video that does it in 4K, but the majority of it is done off a Samsung phone. And they do look good, but if you put it on a full 52-inch screen, you can definitely tell that there's no frosting, so there's no gloss over.
Okay. In 2017, you released an album, Dancing With Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
What reaction did you get?
Well, Dancing With Heroes, the thing is, because I just first started going out, unless you are going out and doing original music, that's your promotion. And it's hard work. It's not for the faint hearted. There's so many people that are preoccupied with the digital side of it. And the original music scene is very difficult. So my initial album, I think because I was experimental and had just started it, I don't think that I'd sort of put out my best songs, but I'd only just started then. So it was very much put it out as an excitement. I think the album that sold the most was Confessions of a Music Addict. So you don't do mass selling at my level, but I'd be selling sort of one or two every sort of gig or when I was out and about. But you've got to keep playing your original songs in amongst your cover set so that people recognise it and then want that song. And Spotify doesn't do that well at all. I mean, I've got friends that do gigs and touring, and they sell more T-shirts than what they do on the music. And you just think, what is all that all about? And it's all about the merchandise. But it's sort of like, am I doing music for money? No. Am I doing it because I like to express myself? Absolutely. And, you know, that's about being pure to the cause. You know, what are you doing? I'm expressing myself. Am I doing it for people to like me? No, I don't care. Am I doing it for people to like my music? No, because it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. That's, you know, I'm pure to the cause.
Okay, I get that. You said you play covers. Name some.
I do the Billy Bragg. I don't want to change the world. You know, New England. Yeah. Do a bit of Yazoo. I've got Cannonball. You know, I mean, for me, I've sort of come out of doing cover gigs for a while because they sort of take up most of your time and you end up focusing on learning covers rather than focusing on originals and songwriting. And you need to have your head clear. You need to have your head clear in all aspects of life, stress, work and calm. And it just flows. And, you know, for me, because I live on my own, having that beautiful, calm house, you know, a guitar, I can have it lying around. It's superb. So it's made it easier, you know, so you've not got people coming in and out when you want that peace and quiet. It's beautiful. Having this break from cover gigs is good, you know, but it's nice to do cover gigs. It's a great way of getting some, slipping in some of your originals. And certainly doing acoustic, it makes originals more palatable. Whereas because if you were doing an original in a band thing, unless they're going to get the absolute sound right, if people don't recognise it, when people go and see a band, they want to sort of rock out and listen to their covers. So, you know, I think you've got to really take it on the chin and go with the flow where you can do your originals. So, my favourites, I love festivals and I love random gigs. And I've recently got a beautiful busking amp, and I've gone out busking, and that has been hilarious, people watching. And I get great response, so people just stop and stand. But my favourite places to busk is calm places where people are calm and more relaxed. You know, like the seaside towns, they listen more. And I notice that. I notice the massive difference people watching.
A busking amp? Is that a little 10-watt thing or something?
Well, the one that I've got is not actually a busking amp per se. It's like a rechargeable one, but the sound quality from it is phenomenal. Like some people's busking amps are like tinny. It's like, get me away from here. I don't want to listen to that tinny sound. But the one that I've got is phenomenal. And I recently went to do a Britain's Got Talent audition. I took my little busking amp and I was in front of these two producers and I forgot that my phone was attached to my busking amp. And then halfway through, some alarm went off and I had to carry on playing with this alarm going up. It was quite hilarious, actually. Yeah. It was cool.
How has the audition gone for you?
Oh, I won't find out till February. You know, it was funny. I was gabbling away about how I'd done some of my songwriting, and then I got straight through into the video lounge. So that was interesting. So I don't know what they made of me, because I had a mouth full of vocal zones and I was proper cheeky. So I'd probably be booted off the show. It'd be quite funny. But they were really lovely, and you know, in all honesty, it was a really positive experience. I even had my favorite numbers, 333, and all my favorite music like was playing at certain points. It was like really uncanny. It was like, this is spooky but beautiful.
You seem happy with your music career. Is there more you'd like to achieve?
I'm a music addict. You always want more, you know. Yeah, there's always something that you want to do, but you know, at the moment I'm just going with everything. And you know, I've done some wonderful gigs and I've had some awful gigs as well. I've done cover gigs, I've done a lot. I think musically I definitely want to be more free flowing, you know, going up the busking route, and people think that's strange, but it's sort of, for me, it's where did music start? You know, let's go back to the start, where it starts on the streets, and you know, having more fun with it. And that means that I'm not going to be tied to a time or a place. I'm not going to be stuck in the same gig circuit. It also means I'm freed up for more festivals if they come up, or more open air events, where, you know, playing outside is my favorite place. But I love open mics as well, because you get to be entertained, you get to meet more people. And because I always go places on my own, more people talk to you. So I get more fun. It's cool.
Yeah, sounds cool to me. Do you have any plans for the rest of the year?
Well, we'll find out in February if I get through. So that would be, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not, it'd be like, phew. I think for me, it's sort of like just keep going with my festivals, and I'm focusing on writing more music for me and getting the metal band sorted and getting, you know, Burn up to sort of the full spec, because, you know, just being a duet and somebody that, no disrespect, is sort of like sort of not able to commit to do getting the songs done, you know, it sort of like it holds you back. And for me, it's about moving forward and making sure things are always moving, because life is for living, and that's, you know, you need to sort of go with the vibe on what needs to be done, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. Kirsten, it's been an absolute pleasure having you as my guest.
Bless you.
It took the release of the single When Doves Cry for the record-buying public to sit up and take notice of songwriter-guitarist Prince. The song was released in May 1984, eventually reaching number one on the Billboard 100 chart in America and number four in the UK. The song was taken from the upcoming album Purple Rain, due for release a few months later. Purple Rain was the sixth album released by Prince and recorded with his band The Revolution. The album was the soundtrack to Prince's film Purple Rain, a rock musical. Several other tracks on the album were also released as singles. Let's Go Crazy became Prince's second number one, with Purple Rain reaching number two on the Billboard 100 chart. It's believed the album's huge success, selling 30 million copies in America alone, is attributed to Prince crafting elements of R&B, rock, pop, psychedelia and funk into his songs, attracting a record-buying public from other genres. Prince was also open to his band contributing their ideas in the recording studio. Guitarist Wendy Melvoin said, "We were musical equals in the sense that Prince respected us and allowed us to contribute to the music without any interference." Purple Rain is Prince's most commercial and critically successful album, and firmly established him as a superlative songwriter and musician. The album influenced the musical direction of countless artists and bands. Rolling Stone magazine placed Purple Rain at number 8 on its list of 500 best albums of all time. The album also won a Grammy in 1984 for Best Rock Vocal Performance, and an Oscar for Best Original Score for the movie. On the 14th of April 2016, at a concert in Atlanta, Purple Rain was the last song Prince would ever play again. On the 21st of April, 7 days later, he died of an accidental drug overdose, aged 57. Today, Prince's band, The Revolution, are still performing, still playing his songs, and currently Purple Rain is number 12 in the US vinyl album charts, 39 years after its initial release. And so it continues to amaze, with its flair and creativity, and that's no mean feat. Coming up is an original song by Kirsten Smitten, The Calling.
Don't try to fight what's pure. Listen to the cause. Cause it has meaning. Take your time, my soul. We're ancient, old, and we will keep on. Pain is very real when your heart is bleeding. Hear my soul. Don't try to fight the cause, cause this is our calling. My eyes, I can feel you breathing against my skin. I look into your eyes. I've been here many times, but it's like I'm falling for the first time. Over again. Don't try to fight the cause.
Again for being my guest. On the next episode, my guest will be songwriter and music producer Dave Pepper. I'll also be bringing you music news and views, and I shine a spotlight on David Bowie's final album, Black Star. I think that's everything. It is. I'm done. Till next time.